Golf Talk America at the Masters is brought to you by PXG. You've never played like this before. Go to pxg.com. Now, Golf Talk America at the Masters. And welcome in to Golf Talk America live from Augusta. We're at the Masters, and it is it's crazy. It's going to be a fantastic tournament. But what we wanted to do while the third round is underway is put out Rory McIlroy's interview to you after his round yesterday. So it's out there if you'd like to listen to it. He has some very interesting things to say, and it might be fun to listen to it after he finishes his third round. And we'll also get his, depending on if he's leading, which we hope he is, but we'll see. We'll get his third round interview out to you also. In addition, we're going to plug in another interview for you, not in this one. This will be a short one, but we'll plug in the interview that was done by Jack, Gary Player, and Tom Watson in the Media Center. We had a chance to catch up with and listen to. So enjoy the Rory McIlroy interview. I think you'll like it.
I'd like to welcome our defending champion, Rory McIlroy, back to the Media Center. Rory, what a fabulous round today. 65 to follow your 67 yesterday. And 9 birdies, 24 putts. It was sublime. You want to tell us how you feel about it?
I've always felt like this golf course can let you get on runs if you allow it. I talked last year about how I really won the tournament in a 14-hole stretch, the second 9 on Friday and the first 5 holes on Saturday. I knew I had some chances coming in when I was standing on the 12th tee, but I didn't think I'd birdie 6 of the last 7. But it just shows, what you can do around here, even if I hit it in the trees on 13, on 15, and on 17. And 17 was obviously a bonus with the chip in, but my wedge play today was really good. My short game the first 2 days has been amazing. I've spent a lot of time up here over the past 3 weeks. Even though I haven't played tournament golf, I feel like being up here a lot and playing, I've prepared as well for this Masters as any other that I've played. And, I think all that work around the greens over the last 3 weeks, has certainly paid off over the first 2 days.
Thanks, Rory. I'm going to open up for questions. John.
Rory, even deep down, is there a part of you that feels intimidating?
To others?
Yes.
No. 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 That's not me. That's not what I want to do. I don't care what golf is the most amazing game because it's you and your golf ball and the golf course, and that's it. You shouldn't be affected by anyone else.
Connor.
Ed. Right here. Rory, could you just talk us through the chip on 17? You seemed to make your mind up pretty soon after you saw the ball, what was on and what you were going to do.
Yeah, it was tricky enough. It was up and over. I was landing the ball into a little bit of a slope into the green, so I knew that as long as I connected or struck it well enough that the ball was going to check. So I had a good landing spot. I was like, okay, so when I hit it, I hit my landing spot perfectly. It came out with the right trajectory and the spin that I thought it was going to have. And I couldn't see the bottom of the flag. So all I saw were the patrons standing up on the grandstand like it had a chance. And then, it went in. But again, that was, I wanted to get it at least pin, level with the bunker, if not beyond the bunker, because I knew that was going to be a better angle for the chip shot. Harry and I talked about that. That's just the benefit of having a lot of experience around here is knowing, even if you're right of that green, whether you're, front right, pin high right, back right, what the different shots are going to be like. So laid it up in a good spot and hit a good chip. Bonus that it went in, but yeah.
Bradley.
Rory, you played these first 2 days with Mason Howell, and you've spent years talking about how you wanted to play like a kid again. What do you think he saw and learned from you these 2 days?
Yeah, hopefully he saw that you don't have to be perfect to shoot good scores. I think when I was 18 and I started to play tour events, you know, I thought that pros just didn't make mistakes. And he saw plenty of mistakes out of me over the first 2 days. But again, I fell back on my short game and my wedge play. Hopefully he saw someone that wasn't perfect, but was very efficient with how he scored. And I think that's, you know, to be successful at the professional level, that's a big part of it.
Brody.
Despite, you know, all of these years of it being about you getting over that hump last year, I mean, you had been acquiring experience here for 17 years. I'm curious, when do you feel like there was a moment that you kind of realized, like, you do know how to play this course really well?
I think I've known that for a while. Even going back to my first year here in 2009, I shot 30 on the back nine on Sunday. So I've always had the ability to go on these runs. But I think it was getting to the point where I would allow myself to play the course the way I knew that I could. So it was getting past myself. It was staying aggressive. You know, like my little mantra to myself today was keep swinging. Like, keep swinging hard at it, even if you're not hitting fairways. Like, just keep swinging. So over the years, this golf course has sometimes, you know, my mindset hasn't been keep swinging. It's been guided, tentative. And I think, you know, the experience that I've accrued over the years, and then obviously with what happened last year, it makes it a bit easier out there to keep swinging.
Jay?
Rory, you've played so many times on this course, and you have so many specific successes on specific holes. Do you ever allow yourself to think when you're on a hole, okay, I've done pretty well on 15 before, I'll be okay now?
No, you just have to play with what's in front of you. I've done that before where I've went into, I went into the 2015 Masters wanting to play the par fives better because I didn't play the par fives well in 2014. But then I didn't play the fourth hole and the 11th hole well. So the next year I went and tried to play the fourth and the 11th hole well, but then I didn't play. So, I mean, you can pinpoint holes all you want, but at the end of the day, you just have to play the hole that's in front of you and stand up and execute and make good swings.
Ben.
Well, it felt like a key moment in the round was after the bogey on 10, the way you managed to respond on 11 and then the way you hit that shot on 12. How do you manage to recompose in those situations? Is it the experience you've got?
Yeah, I guess I got through 11 with a par, which is all you really want to do. It's a tough hole. I only had a 9-iron in, but I hit a good tee shot there. And then, honestly, today you're not going to get the 12th hole to play any easier as it was today. I mean, the three guys in our group all made twos there. There wasn't really any wind, so there wasn't much decision around what club or what type of shot. It was basically a stock pitching wedge for all three of us.
Dom?
Rory, what for you would be more fun, eking out a victory by the skin of your teeth or potentially running away with it and lapping the field?
What do you think? look, I've built up a nice cushion at this point. And I guess my mindset is just trying to, you know, keep playing well and keeping my foot on the gas.
Brian?
Yeah, Rory, 7 under par on the par fives over the first 2 days. If you told me in 2009 that you do that without hitting a fairway, on any of the par fives and only hitting one of them in two. What does that say about the evolution of your game over the past 18 years?
Becoming a wily old veteran, I think. Again, not... I remember, like, you know, even go back to the final round in 2011, you know, hitting it in that bunker off the tee at the second hole and, like not panicking, but, you know, thinking, oh, this isn't good. I can't go for this in two. How am I, you know, and, you know, I walk up there today and it's like, no, I led up to a good number and, you know, I'll have a good chance to make a birdie. So, there's so many different ways to skin a cat. You know, I've shot 12 under par for the first two rounds here. I've played well. I've hit good shots, but like it hasn't all been amazing. I've relied on my short game when I've needed it, and I've certainly hit enough good wedges into those par fives to build the score that I have.
Claire.
With a lead like this in the late tee time tomorrow, are you going to allow yourself to think about what you want to do tomorrow, or are you going to try and keep your mind off of it, and how will you spend that time?
Yeah, I'll probably try to keep my mind off it. That distraction is usually a good thing for me, especially with a late tee time and the lead. There's actually two really good semifinals at Monte Carlo in the tennis, so I'll watch that. I think it's Sinner and Zverev and Vacheron and Alcaraz. So I'll watch those. We've been watching the tennis early in the mornings, so I'll do that. And then hopefully spend some time with Poppy. I think we're about halfway through Zootopia 2, so maybe do a little bit of that. I think for me, I get to the golf course 2.5 to 3 hours before, and then I'll start to think about things. But before that time, I really try to stay off my phone and distract myself and try not to think about it too much.
Ewan.
Rory, is the mindset with a 6-shot lead here any different to it would be if you had that anywhere else? And if it is, does last year play a part in that?
I don't think so. I just want to go out and play two good rounds again. Obviously, this golf course has certain characteristics that, you know, guys can get on runs, guys can make eagles. You hear roars all over the golf course. So, I think the next 2 days for me, it's just about really focusing on myself. And, you know, it's hard to avoid those big leaderboards out there, but like I know that I've got a lead, so I don't need to keep checking it all the time. So for me, just really, you know, focusing on myself and staying in my own little world out there is the best thing.
Dylan.
Obviously, no lack of attention on you coming into this event, Rory, but, you know, with the documentary and the dinner and everything, do you feel like people were sleeping on your golf game at all?
I don't know. I don't follow the coverage as closely as I maybe used to. So, not really. I guess it's understandable. I hadn't played in 3 weeks. The last time everyone saw me, I was struggling with a bit of a back injury. So, it's understandable if I wasn't in the forefront of everyone's minds coming in here. From a playing perspective.
Dan.
Rory, what would congressional Rory advise this Rory about protecting a lead on the weekend?
Don't protect it. Go out and play freely. Keep swinging. That was, a big part of the lesson from the 2011 Masters to the 2011 US Open was don't get protective. Go out there and keep playing. Keep trying to make birdies. Stay as trusting and as committed as possible.
Carl.
Hi, Rory. On Wednesday, you said that a double-digit score would be an amazing score. You didn't specify that would be Friday. So I'm just wondering how much things have exceeded your expectations so far.
Yeah, I mean, I... Yeah, like when I got to 8 under par for the tournament early today after the fourth hole, I thought to myself, if I could finish 10 under, that would be an amazing, you know, that would be a great 2 days. So to drop to 6 under and then finish at 12. Yeah, it is. It's a, you know, I must say though, like I felt when you when you're in the fairway and you strike the ball properly, you can still get the ball to stop. You know, the greens were firm but not ridiculous. So there was still chances. I would envision that the greens will continue to just get a little bit firmer as the week goes on. But I you know, I was having lunch and watched a little bit of the coverage out there, and I was quite surprised at some of the early grips, how easily they were stopping the ball on some of the greens. So, you know, that I felt like that still allowed you to be quite aggressive when you did get the ball in play and were attacking from the fairway.
Robbie? Rory, your putting has been fantastic this week. What have you felt on these greens that has kind of allowed you to match line and speed in a way we haven't seen everybody else be able to do? It's been a lot of guys, I think, today struggled feeling it was going to be faster. Yesterday, it seemed like guys were kind of running things by. What's worked for you on the greens?
I think just spending time here. I played between the players and this tournament. Like between the players and starting on Thursday, I've been on this golf course, like Monday, Tuesday last week, then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I was up here for a day the week before as well, played 27. So I've been on this golf course so much in the last 3 weeks that, and that's been a combination of practice and chipping and putting around greens and then just playing one ball and shooting scores and ending up in weird places that you maybe never find yourself and just trying to figure it out. And so I think just spending so much time up here has been a big part of it.
Oliver?
Rory, there's obviously a real electricity in watching you when you're in this mood. I just wonder what do these sequences feel like for you, you know, reeling off 6 birdies in 7 holes like that. We've obviously seen you win majors by 8 before, but I mean, are you just kind of zoning at that point? Are you that conscious of the outside world at all?
Yeah, you know, I've certainly had times where I felt like in the zone or in that flow state or whatever you want to call it. And maybe this afternoon was one of those times. I would say maybe not in the zone, but I definitely found a sense of flow those last few holes. It just, the only way I can describe it is everything that you see or any situation that you come across, you can find a positive in it. And you see birdies and you can see ways to make birdies. So hit it in the trees at 13, fine. I can make a birdie doing it this way. Hit it in the trees in 15, same thing. You know, and then you get your spots where you can attack like the 16th and feed it in there. And so, I think that's the best way I can describe it. You reel off some birdies and even when you find yourself out of position, you can still somehow see yourself make a birdie some way.
Last two questions. Ronan.
Rory, how important were those couple of weeks off from an energy perspective, knowing that you're coming here last Saturday and by Sunday you've been here for 9 days now and people are so demanding of your time and there's so much that goes on being a defending champion. Just wondering if energy was a factor in your decision to not play?
No, not really. I honestly just don't like the 3 tournaments leading up to this event. Yeah, I'd rather come up here. You know, I did a couple of days where I dropped Poppy to school, flew up here, played, landed back home and had dinner with her, or had dinner with Eric and Poppy. Like I did a couple of day trips like that where I felt like that was a better use of my time than going to Houston or San Antonio. So wasn't really about conserving energy, but I felt, you know, the more time I could spend up here, the better.
Last question, Joy.
Rory, even before you had gone on that run of 6 birdies in 7 holes, Fred Couples, for the second day in running, said, I don't see Rory losing this tournament ever. That was his comment. And then in the morning, you spoke about Jack talking about giving you the advice, don't make effing double bogeys. When legends talk like that about you, have that kind of belief in you, and they give that kind of an advice to you even after so many years, which makes you feel happier? What do you look forward to more?
I think the advice, like the advice from Jack, or the, you know, like you, even last year, I talked about, you know, Jack and Gary and Tom were up here after their ceremonial tee shots and they all picked me to win. It's like, it's very nice, but it's not helpful. So, Freddie saying that is not helpful. But Jack telling me not to make double bogeys, that's helpful. So it's very nice either way. It's really nice that Jack feels a close relationship with me, that he wants to help in some way. And it's nice that Freddie believes in me so much. So, but yeah, it's, I guess it's still all noise. Like, you know, it's, they're lovely words and it's nice to hear these things, but it means nothing when you step on the first tee because you just have to stand up and hit the shots and make the putts.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Rory.
Thank you.
So there you have it, Rory McIlroy's second round interview. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll have more bits and pieces for you, as well as the Golf Talk America shows in their full entirety. Is that a word? Yes, it is. Anyway, thanks for listening. We are so happy to be in Augusta. This is Golf Talk America, brought to you by PXG, live from Augusta.